Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin on this Wednesday.
Now, we're playing that song because our next guest, that's the song that he danced to at his prom.
I thought this was his favorite song to dance to at the Rayon City Social on Friday nights. Mike Organ is with us from the Tennessee. And Mike, what's up? How are you?
You're both correct. You're both absolutely correct. It's my favorite song, and I'm going to pull out my cassette as soon as we finish this interview and cue it up.
Oh, fantastic. Before we get to the meat of what we got you on for, let's talk about, and it's not sports, but it's still awesome for our city. Nate Bargatze getting to host Saturday Night Live. Mike, you know that family really, really well. What just a great thing for all involved with that.
Absolutely. Ron Bargatze, long time sports individual here in town, done just about everything connected to basketball, been a coach at several different places, a broadcaster, foremost expert on high school and college basketball, going all the way back to the 60s when he started Antioch. And that he is Nate's uncle. And Stephen Bargatze is Nate's father, and he'll tell you that there would be no Nate Bargatze if it wasn't for Ronnie, because Ronnie took Nate in during a time when he was in a little bit of a need and got him back on strong footing, and that's how Nate came about, was after he got his family together. So, you know, that's it's a phenomenal thing that he's going to be hosting Saturday Night Live, to watch how far this kid has gone from where he was to where he is today. And, you know, I'd say he's the greatest DCA alumni since Joe Dubin.
Well, he can have that honor for two more years until my son graduates, and then he'll have to take a back seat to that. So I just think it's really good.
Yeah.
I can see you finishing third in the long run in that group.
Mike Organ is with us from the Tennessee, and you have an article out this morning. You had a sit down with Eddie George, and he, you know, he's kind of getting at the fan base at TSU for not supporting them as a winning team. They're 4-2. They have a chance to go 5-2 this week. He says, quote, "It hurts the kids." And, you know, look, Eddie, it's been a long journey, a hard journey, but in the 3 years that he's been there, he's finally got this team where he wants them at 4-2. You know, talking about some of the average attendance at Nissan Stadium, you know, for homecoming, which is such a big deal, below 10,000, I can understand that really bothering him, and I'm glad he said something about it.
Yeah, you know, Eddie's been shocked. The first year he was there, and one of the first games they played at Nissan Stadium, they had about 3,500 people in the stands. I don't care what the attendant said. I was there, and it was not what, you know, it was not 4,000 or 5,000 or 6,000. It was about 2,500. And after the game, he just looked at me with a blank stare, and he had no idea. You know, he was like most people here in Nashville. He thought Tennessee State was well supported by its fans, and definitely for its home games. And so he's kind of been in a fog since then, and it's gotten a little better since he's been here. But then Saturday night, you see a crowd show up. You couldn't get to the stadium. People had so many problems getting to the stadium because the crowd was so big in the parking lot with people tailgating for homecoming, big social event. And matter of fact, I heard the sports information director talking to a guy who was supposed to spot for TV, for ESPN Plus, and he couldn't get in. He couldn't. He said, "I've been sitting here for 45 minutes." The point being that, you know, there's a huge crowd out in the parking lot, and you get inside the game, and 50 minutes before the game, there's maybe, I don't know, 100 people in there. It gets up to about 8,000 or 9,000 at some point in the second quarter. And then at halftime, yeah, there's 10,000, 11,000 people there, 12,000 people there. They watch both bands, and they file out like the game is over as the bands leave, as the TSU band leaves the field after being the second one to perform. by the middle of the third quarter, it's down to about 5,000 people there. And that really, you know, you wonder how much a coach or a player realizes that in a tight game like this one was, which, you know, Tia, it was tied up 17-17 at that point. And you need every little bit of support you can get. And Eddie definitely noticed the crowd leaving, and he said something about it Saturday. So I followed up with him yesterday, and he wasn't any happier about it yesterday than he was Saturday night. And he just, like I said, he's disappointed first that the, you know, they don't get that much support to start with, and secondly, that they leave at halftime after watching the band. You know, he questioned Tennessee State fans' love for football. That's what he did. And you can't blame him, because if you witnessed that, you'd have to agree. I don't know why, if you paid a ticket, you were already there, the game is, you know, competitive, why you wouldn't stay at least until one team pulled ahead, or, you know, until the final horn, you know, ideally. But they didn't. And he finally kind of he came up with that on his own. He wasn't asked about that. We should have asked about it, but we didn't. But he came up, he complained about it on his own. And like I said, I followed up with him yesterday, and he's not any happier. And his players echoed his sentiments.
Mike Gorgon is with us from the Tennessean. Yeah, and I like how he referenced, and you used this quote in the piece of, I've had my name called. I've been cheered. Like, you know, he's felt it, but now he wants these kids to feel it the same way. And it, he says, it hurts the kids. I hear their cries when they say we need more fan support, end quote. And as a head coach, like, I love that he's fighting for his players like that, and wanting them to get that support. I don't understand why it's not there, especially with a winning football team. But I mean, TSU has had such a loyal fan base for so long.
Yeah, you know, Chase, that's the thing is he couldn't argue much about the small crowds and maybe even the fans leaving at halftime, which is still a phenomenon to me. But he couldn't argue much about that when he was, you know, 0-4 going into last year's homecoming coming, or, you know, losing 3 out of 4 games, which they've done once or twice, or losing to Lane last year. Tiny school, you know, that was a huge upset. He didn't have his quarterbacks, his first or second string quarterbacks, but still, you should be able to roll out in bed and beat Lane. And so he couldn't argue about it then, but, you know, he could argue about it now. They're 4-2. They'll go 5-2 Saturday. This team from the – this is their cupcake on the schedule, like all teams have. So you can't, you know, complain about that. But they'll be 5-2 Saturday, and that'll be the best record since I believe 2010. It'll match the best record since they went to the playoffs and went 10-3 in 2010. But I'll be honest, that team wasn't even supported any better. That team struggled with the same type of apathy that this team's going through. So it'll be interesting to see how the fans respond to this now that they don't really have the argument to fall back on about winning. And they can't, you know, like you said, this isn't an Eddie thing. I mean, Eddie was cheered greater than any Tennessee Titan ever, along with Steve McNair, through the years. Nobody's matched that yet. Derrick Henry got close, but now that they've made him a second string tailback or whatever he is now for the Titans, I don't know that he'll ever experience what Eddie and Steve did. So, you know, and he was cheered, like he brought out, he was cheered on Broadway. You know, he's had his lifetime of applause. It's time now to cheer for these kids. And he's right about them getting at this. I don't want this to be lost in the story. He says they get up at 4 o'clock, and I think people think that just was something that he said that, you know, to try to drive home his point. That wasn't the case. They practice in the mornings. They're on the field by about 8 or 8:30, and they're done by 10:30 on the nose. So they do. They get up at about 4 o'clock in order to get ready for practice, to have breakfast and all that. So yeah, these kids are getting up at 4. They're studying. They're practicing, and they've improved this team, and the winning aspect of it is an argument that fans don't have anymore.
Well, you know, we're talking to Mike Organ from the Tennessee, and look, I grew up here. You grew up here. You know, I remember games when they'd play over at Dudley Field, there'd be 30, 35,000 people there. But at the same time, I've had friends that argue, it's like, well, they need to get back to, you know, playing the teams they grew up playing, the Mississippi Valley States and the Jacks, and I understand all that. So it's a tough situation here because, you know, if, for example, Tennessee Tech comes here, it doesn't mean the same as like an Alcorn coming here. And I understand all that. That's just not really an easy solution for all this.
Yeah, and you know what, Joe, they're listening to that. Eddie's listening to that. Mickey Allen, the AD, is listening to that. And they played two HBCUs this year, one of them last Saturday when the crowd walked out on them. Norfolk State's at HBCU. They played Arkansas Pine Bluff in Memphis at the Southern Heritage Classic. That was an HBCU. And they just signed two more HBCUs for next season. They'll play Mississippi Valley State and Howard. So, and they canceled, Kennesaw canceled on them, and that's how they were able to add two HBCUs next year. So they're hearing that, and, you know, a lot of people want them to go to the SWAC. That's been a rumor that they were going to go to the SWAC for a long time. They're not going to go to the SWAC. The SWAC is not as strong a conference, hasn't been for a long time, and certainly, you know, with what's going on there recently, that's just not a strong conference. So, but they'll play some SWAC teams, and we'll see if that makes a difference. Again, it didn't make a difference Saturday when they played Norfolk State, which is an HBCU. Now, maybe it's not as high profile to some TSU fans as some other HBCUs, because this was only the second time they've played Norfolk State, but it was an HBCU. And it had an HBCU band, which the fans enjoyed listening to because they stayed till halftime.
Let me ask you this. Eddie keeps winning like that pace they're doing now, and, you know, turns things around really good. How does a school not in like a MAC or a Sun Belt not look at Eddie and say, hey, we like what you're doing. You bring the name, and we want you. I mean, he could have a lot of offers into this season.
Yeah, you know, I think that's something that TSU fans also need to consider is that, you know, he could become a hot commodity. Now, two things, that's already happened. Akron, he was in the mix at Akron last season, I believe, early last season.
Right.
And, I mean, yeah, and so, yeah, he's in, you know, that could easily happen. Akron back up in Ohio where people, you know, idolize the guy. And there's plenty of places, like you mentioned, the MAC has plenty of teams that I could see that would like to have him. Now, in reality, would Eddie leave? Eddie's very happy in Nashville. I could see Eddie being the mayor of Nashville someday. The guy's he's insanely popular. He's never not been in the spotlight, and you got to realize it's been 20 years since he played. That stuns a lot of people, he's remained, you know, a popular figure in this town. And his kid, you know, Eric is on the team. Of course, you know, he could take Eric with him in this days of transfer portals and all that. That actually probably makes him more interesting for another team, is to bring him and a really good defensive end along with him. In fact, I personally believe that Eric will get have transfer portal options this year to play at an FBS next year because he's been so good early in his career. So, yeah, that's something that's a very real possibility. I can see it being offered to Eddie. I just am not totally sure that he would take it because he and Taj are so happy here and they're just entrenched. But at the same time, I would have never thought Eddie George would become the coach at Tennessee State either, because I thought, you know, those days of having one of the most difficult jobs in the world. Being a college football coach is really hard. And I would have never thought that Eddie would have taken that upon himself, and he did, you know, 2 years ago or 2021. So, yeah, you never say never to that. And I could see, and I know that other schools will come calling on him, especially if they close out this season at 9-2 or 8-3.
Yeah, Mike, we never say never to you either. So we appreciate you taking time to come on with us this morning and talk about this. Very good article, and I know you will not be a stranger to this show.
I will not be. I look forward to it. And Chase, be sure to keep some fresh batteries in that shock collar for Joe.
Oh, trust me, we change them every day. Thanks, Mike.
All right. See you later. Bye bye.
Mike Organ from the Tennessean joining us, and we'll tweet out his article from the Tennessean.
Yeah,
and
I mean, he's covered everything.
It's really good.
He's covered everything from the Pilgrims coming over on the Mayflower to John Donaldson sailing down the Cumberland to establish Nashville to everything else. So Mike's seen it all, done it all. Up next, Chase, what do we have?
It is celebrity birthdays. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.